Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Thank you for joining us this morning. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Doing fine. Just kind of shaking off a little bit of that flu bug that's been going around.
The flu is kind of running around, so I hope you get better and our listeners are well.
Yes, of course. We do wish everyone to be well and to stay healthy. And we are now at the end of the Christmas season. Our gospel today is from St. Matthew.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me? Jesus said to him in reply, Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful gospel this morning, of course, detailing the baptism of Jesus.
It is. It's short, but to the point, and certainly full of meaning and really direction for us, as I know we're going to talk a bit about our own baptism and commitment to Christ.
Right, exactly. And I thought it was interesting in this gospel that John the Baptist is really very hesitant to baptize Jesus because he was baptizing sinners.
That's right. We know that John's baptism, as we hear, is a baptism of water. It's for the remission of sin, the repentance. And so John recognizing, as he did Jesus, recognizing Jesus in the birth, at the moment of his conception, both in the womb, they recognized right. one another. And here John is doing his baptism of repentance, and Jesus shows up. And you can almost imagine knowing that this is him knowing in faith that this is the Messiah, and yet coming to him for baptism, and he resisted and say, no, I should be going to you not to me. But those words of Jesus are very strong in the sense, allow it for now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the plan of God. And so really it's one of those present moment things that this is part of the plan and allow it for now. Saying to John, you don't understand, but allow it. And John, of course, in faith, allowed it. And just how many times in our own life we may resist something, and yet, you know, someone may help us through some kind of direction, or we may just allow it for now. And it will be part of that bigger plan. So it's a beautiful moment between these two, John and Jesus, the cousins who meet.
In preparing for today's program, Bishop, I used one of my sources, which is the Lecter book. And it said that Matthew's account of the baptism of Jesus supported his understanding of Jesus as the new Moses, the fulfillment of the law. So one of the ways was, of course, John trying to stop Jesus from coming, and then the coming of the Spirit upon Jesus was both personal and public. All of that happened for everyone to see.
And sure, and then you can see, too, the baptismal waters being kind of foreshadowed earlier in the event of the Red Sea. The passage through the Red Sea is always, in the Christian sense, has been kind of like a foretaste of baptism, that mm-hmm. passing through those waters was the entrance into new life, or the waters of the flood with Noah and the ark, again, washing away all that it was old, was mm-hmm. sinful, and entering into a new life. And so all those images of water in the scriptures all lead to this moment, this very simple moment in which John resists Jesus' presence for baptism, and yet is allowing it to happen because something new is about to happen. And Jesus is entering now into his public ministry. And that's why we see this as kind of the conclusion of the Christmas season. So we're entering into a new phase of life with Jesus. And it's all symbolized by that water that you and I and all of us who are baptized enter into, though that moment of baptism at the beginning of our new life in Christ.
And we're only baptized once. I mean, we may have a renewal of our baptismal vows, but we are only baptized once.
That's a good question because, you know, we hear often that I was baptized, but it didn't mean anything, and so I went and got baptized over here. Well, just because I don't remember something as if I'm an infant doesn't mean it doesn't mean anything. That's why we have renewal of baptismal promises, especially at Easter, at the Easter Vigil, and on Easter Sunday is the time in which it all comes together. The meaning of our baptism is all focused in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Because what is baptism? It is, first of all, the forgiveness of our sin, the original sin, which we could maybe talk about in a little bit. Mm-hmm. What is the meaning of that? But that original sin that we are all born into by the fact of the original disobedience of Adam and Eve, that we all have that tendency toward evil, toward doing what is not the will of God. And so to offset that, to forgive that, to wash that away, we are entering into Christ. The reality of baptism is a one-time reality. We enter into Christ where the life of grace begins, the life of God's presence in us, because at baptism we receive the Holy Spirit, as Jesus did here, symbolically at the Jordan. But the Holy Spirit then enters our life, even as an infant, and has an influence, an unseen, a subtle influence in our life through the formation of our parents, our religious education, our prayer life, etc., all that's going on in our life that we're not even aware of. So to say that I'm not aware of something or it didn't mean anything to me does not mean that I need to go and do it again. It means that I need to be aware. I need to wake up to what has happened in my life. All of us have those moments. You know, when a person gets married, when a person is ordained a priest, I mean, I think of my own day of priesthood. I mean, I hate to say it, but probably who was ordaining me and was the altar set properly and all those other things were probably as important to me as what was happening. Not really. But at a certain point, as we journey through life, as I journey through life as a priest, you know, you begin to, this is what it means. This is what it means. And so it's only by the Holy Spirit in our life, in some ways awakening us to that, that we really come to an awareness and I would say a new commitment to be a priest, but in this case, to what it means to be baptized. So yes, we are baptized only once. It marks us for life. We can't be unbaptized. We are entering into Christ. It's what we call the indelible mark of God's grace and the seal of baptism. And so it's important that we realize that this baptism, whether as a child, as an adult, as an infant, it's there. Christ enters into us. The Holy Spirit is in our life and giving us that grace that we need to live life. Becoming aware of it is something that takes time. You know, saints are not created, they're made. Saints are not born. So it's the same with baptism in that new life. We have to live the life.
And for many of us who were baptized as infants, it's just the growing of our faith, the development of it. And maybe we couldn't remember that as infants, but we were told by our parents that if we couldn't remember it, they were there to sort of remind us of that experience. So it's growing our faith throughout our life. And as we continue to grow, we hope and pray that our faith deepens.
And that's the importance, and I would say to all of us who are listening, the importance of being a good parent, the importance of being a good godparent. You know, we have the community has an influence on us that we don't realize. And it's important for us to continue to influence with our own life, to witness to our own life in Christ, to those to whom we are committed, either in the family or as a godparent, to allow the Spirit to work in another person through the witness of other people. And so that's why we are baptized into the Christ and through Christ into the church, because the church has to have that influence on us as well. Our parish, our CCD groups, the things that we belong to, these are all good influences that help us and help the Spirit to grow and awaken His life within us.
And help us to learn more and to deepen our faith.
Right. And, you know, then gradually we see God's will and what He wants for us, the influence that we could have on others. So it's a dynamic relationship. Baptism is not a one time, I'm saved, it's over, you know, let's move on, I can do what I want now. No, I mean, it's a baptismal life, which means it's a journey. It's a journey of faith. Jesus only began at this moment. You know, at this moment, when He says, allow it for now, He's saying this is the beginning. In other words, your baptism, the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance was not, that's it. Jesus is saying, this is only the start. Let it happen now. And over time, and of course, maybe after the break, we could talk about that presence of God saying, this is my beloved Son. Jesus realized that this was going to be a journey all the way to the cross, death and resurrection. So for us too, baptism is only the start. It's not the completion. It's the beginning. Otherwise, you know, when you think of baptism as the entrance of God's life in us, it's a dynamic life. And so it's not a once and for all, that's it. No, it's a journey of life. On this day of the baptism of the Lord, as we celebrate it at Mass, or as we're listening, is to realize that we're called every day, every moment. The Lord is calling us to a deeper relationship, a deeper life in Him. And we should pay attention to that and foster it through our own prayer, our service to one another, our celebration of the sacraments. It's all meant to awaken and reawaken and recommit us to the life of God inside of us.
Our Shepherd's View. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. This Sunday celebrates the baptism of the Lord. I am Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And at the very end of this gospel, the Spirit of God descends like a dove, and the voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." I mean, that's such a beautiful line. And it almost sounds like this is the encouragement of God to Jesus. He was sort of coaching him along, you could say.
Yeah, I've never heard it put that way, but sure. I mean, it's many of our fathers were kind of, and mothers were kind of our coaches in different things, parts of our life. But it's certainly an expression of relationship here that Jesus has with His Father. But it's interesting also, you know, in His human relationship with John, and John saying, no, I can't baptize you. And Jesus saying, allow it for now. And then this other part of the, after the baptism, he came up from the water and the heavens were open and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And then the voice of the Father. So you really see the Trinity here. Jesus here, God Himself, co-equal with the Father, the Son, the Spirit, the dove, the Spirit of God, and the Father is saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. It complements the resistance of John in the sense that John says no, Jesus says yes, and Jesus was right. Because in that moment, it's like this is where the activity of our redemption begins in the public ministry of Jesus. So the Father is saying, this is my Son, an acknowledgement that this is not just anybody, this is not just a prophet, this is not just another good person. This is my Son whom I sent. Again, what we've just celebrated with the Christmas, with the Incarnation, I've sent Him to you. And it's a confirmation of who Jesus is, which is also, interestingly, a quote from Psalm 2, the second Psalm. So it's very biblical. This is my Son. Here He is, the revelation of the Messiah. This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. That phrase will point us also to Isaiah, in the 42nd chapter and in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which are known as the suffering servant songs in which, you know, he was silent, he was led like a lamb before the slaughter, etc. All of it kind of a foreshadowing of the passion of what is to come. So it's a confirmation, this is the Messiah, this is the one, and I'm well pleased because he's going to do my will, and he's going to save you from your sins, save you from all that would block you from being in, you know, eternal happiness with me. So it's a very important phrase. It's not just a saying, but it's a confirmation that this baptism that Jesus has just gone through is now the beginning of the public ministry toward our redemption on the cross and the resurrection. Of course, we know that Jesus did and said so much in between that time, between the baptism and his passion and resurrection. But it's all culminates, the entire life of Jesus really culminates on the cross, because there is the supreme act of love. So many times we see it as suffering, as something negative, but if we look at it in the light of this baptism, I've sent him, this is his mission, this is my will, not my will that he be treated like that, but that he shows my love for you, that the Father is saying that he's showing my love for you. Jesus, in responding to my will, is showing me this, showing you my supreme act of love for you. I'm willing to die for you. And of course, that's why Jesus gave the commandment. You know, there's no greater love than to give your life for your friends, showing that on the cross. So all of that, really, I mean, when you think about this simple scene that we read today in the gospel, it really encapsulates everything that we're about. It all leads, you know, it's all so interconnected. I think sometimes when we look at the Gospels, we say, well, there was the baptism, well, there was the institution of the Eucharist, there was the multiplication of loaves, but it's all connected. I mean, it's one Jesus, it's one person, it's one journey of life, mm-hmm. and it's one God who's bringing all of it together in himself. So we have to connect the dots, if you want to say, or bring it all together. And this moment, by that phrase, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, really sums up the relationship between God the Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit who lives in him and reveals everything. The Trinity's there.
Well, before the break, we were talking about original sin and how Jesus was baptized. Would you care to discuss that more?
Well, sure. I think we have always testified to an original sin. Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, it's an act of disobedience. In other words, in the creation of the human family, in the creation of man and woman, God created us in his own image and likeness, allowing us to be a part of his life, to share eternal happiness, to share a life that is fully real. But because Adam and Eve disobeyed the simple act of do not eat of the fruit of the tree, showing that they wanted to exert themselves over God, that is the original sin, in a simple way of putting it. And so we all, as human beings, inherit that inner desire to want to do it our way, to put it in more common language today. And so it's the original sin of selfishness. It's the original sin of me first, the original sin of individualism, of putting our will first. In fact, I was looking through some notes for a retreat that I'm going to be giving, and I found, I don't know where I got it from, but I wrote this down, but I think it's very true. And it said that the original sin was the human person putting more faith into their God-given gift of freedom. In other words, God, because we're created in his image, we're created free. But that we put more faith in our own freedom, which is a gift, than we do in the love of God for us.
We put freedom first before the love of God,
which is God's gift. So we say, well, God gave me freedom, can use it the way I want, but God also loves you. And fifth chapter of Matthew, and it really shows us how much God loves us. He has a plan for us. He would not give us something that would be bad for us. He's a father, etc. So we put more faith in his gift than in God himself. And so when you think of it in the terms of even the baptism today, I mean, who would want to go to a cross? Who would want to come to earth and be treated the way Jesus was in a certain sense? And he had the freedom to, at any time, because he was human, divine and human, the incarnation, the hypostatic union, we call it, of the two natures, and yet he always chose the love of God, the love of his Father. He never doubted that. Even on the cross saying, my God, why have you abandoned me? And still he said, into your hands I commend my spirit. So it's that crucial moment in Jesus's life that really is the antithesis of original sin, the undoing. And that's why we call it our redemption. It's the undoing of original sin in Christ. And it had to be God himself who came to do that, because as human beings, we lost that in the Garden of Eden. We lost it with Adam and Eve saying, no, I'm going to do it my way. And so it's an act of disobedience. And the only way that it could be undone was an act of obedience by God himself. So Jesus to the Father. So Jesus does not place faith in his own freedom to do what he wanted. What he placed his faith in was the love of God, the love of his Father. And so again, we go back to that phrase in Matthew at the end of today's gospel, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, because there is that unbreakable bond of relationship. So Christ then at this time in this simple baptism of John enters into that journey to show us, and that's why throughout this whole new liturgical year, we read the gospel with this light. What Christ is saying to us throughout the year, what the liturgy is saying to us as we celebrate the different events, is all about our redemption. It's all about, don't choose your own freedom, which is God's gift. Choose the will of God for you. Which, even in the simplest of things, of course, we know the will of God for us is to love, that we live lives of love, not selfishness.
And I was going to ask, in our day-to-day lives, everyone is getting back to the routine, but kind of brings us to the point where we can ask now, who encourages us in our faith life?
We need one another. I think all of, and I think, you know, the effects, we talk about the effects of original sin. So you have to look at what you just said as an effect of original sin. We all think it'd be easier to live life by ourselves. You know, if that person just wasn't in my life, or if that situation was gone. But all of those things are there. Everything's in our life for a reason. The journey of baptism, the journey of a faith life, is to be able to recognize in different situations, in people that somehow, for whatever reason, are in our lives, they are there for a reason according to God's plan. What I have to learn to do, what you have to learn, what all of us have to learn to do is to conquer our desire of selfishness, for, you know, self-serving, into love. And it's not easy. You know, I mean, just go on a trip with somebody. I'm sure you were with family over the holidays, and there's probably at least one family member that irritated you and challenged you, and people that you're around. And, you know, some people like to be quiet. Some people like to talk. Some people like to watch sports all day. Some like to shop. And, you know, we're different. And this is the effect of original sin. But the conquering of that original sin, which is the desire for personal freedom over God's will, is to be able to love in every situation. And that's a life's journey. And that's why we are baptized once, to enter into the journey of Christ, to listen to the Son throughout the year in his gospel, which will continue to help us understand, and live a life of cross, yes, but also resurrection.
We have our work cut out for us.
Till the very end.
Till the very end. Thank you, Bishop. If you would end now with a prayer and a blessing.
I'll be happy to. Father, your only Son revealed himself to us by becoming man. May we who share his humanity come to also share his divinity. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you this day and always, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.